This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 23rd, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Apologize for the delay. We've been trying to work out some edits to take care of our one of our requesters. So. And get them on their way with the guidance that they need. So thank you for bearing with us. Good morning. This commences the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Wednesday, July 23, 2014, and it will now come to order. Madam Vice Chair, the first item on today's agenda is correction and approval of the minutes for June 26, 2014.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to adopt agenda document number 14-33, minutes for the open session held on June 26, 2014.
Any questions, comments, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0, Madam Secretary. Item 2 on today's agenda is Draft Advisor Opinion 2014. I was going to do those seriatim. The second item on today's agenda is discussion of Advisory Opinion Request 2014-06 from Paul Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action. I believe we have a few late submitted documents.
Yes, with respect solely to that matter.
If you'd like, why don't we get them all in the record?
All right. Thank you. This is a motion for late submitted documents. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of agenda document number 14-35, draft AO 2014-05, Henry Ford Health Systems Government Affairs Services PAC. Agenda document number 14-36, drafts A and B, AO 2014-06, Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action, and agenda document number 14-36A, draft C, AO 2014-06, Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Okay, thank you. I believe we have Joanna Waldstreicher. Joanna and Esther Yori. Is Esther? Esther's here. And Bob Knopp. Bob's here with us. Of the Office of General Counsel, I want to thank you all for working on this. I also want to welcome Tim Cronquist, Mike Bays, and former chairman of the Federal Election Commission, Tom Josefiak, counsel for the requesters here, who are available to answer any questions. Gentlemen, if you'd like to come to the table in case there are any questions. Chairman Josefiak, I understand you're not going to be representing today, but we do welcome you. It's always good to see you. Gentlemen, do you want to give a presentation? Office of General Counsel, do you want to give a presentation on this draft advisory opinion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 14-36 and 14-36A are three alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by counsel for Paul Ryan, Ryan for Congress, and Prosperity Action, Inc. Representative Ryan is a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, representing the 1st Congressional District of Wisconsin, and he is a candidate for re-election to the House of Representatives. Ryan for Congress is Representative Ryan's principal campaign committee. Prosperity Action is a leadership PAC sponsored by Representative Ryan. Grand Central Publishing, a division of the international publishing company Hachette Book Group, will publish a book in August 2014, authored by Representative Ryan. The requesters ask questions regarding the application of the Act and Commission regulations to various activities relating to the purchase and promotion of the book by Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action, and to promotion of the book by the publisher. Drafts A and B both conclude that the proposed activities are permissible under the Act and Commission regulations. However, with respect to certain questions, they rely on different rationales to reach their results. Draft C concludes that most of the proposed activities are permissible, but indicates that the commission was unable to reach the required 4 votes to approve a rationale for the response to one of the questions, and was unable to reach 4 votes to approve a response to another of the questions. We did not receive any comments on the request, and we received 1 comment on the drafts. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Waldstreicher? Mr. Cronquist and Mr. Bays, did you have anything that you wanted to impress us? I noticed we received a comment from you. Did you want to discuss that or elaborate on that?
No, I don't think I think so. I appreciate the work of the commissioners and you, Mr. Chairman, and the Office of General Counsel, and I think that the comment we submitted last night pretty much speaks for itself. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions of the requesters? Okay. Madam Vice Chair, do you want to discuss the edit that we've been working on? Is it to draw into draft C, I believe?
Yes. With respect to draft C, we have made some edits to take into account the comment that was submitted by Mr. Bays last evening. And this would be part of the motion, but I can say it on the record. That we would amend the draft to change the question to say, may Prosperity Action place 1 to 2 sentences of material promoting the way forward on its website, and also post a de minimis amount of material promoting Congressman Ryan's book on its social media sites. So that is the question that was phrased in some way by your comment. And the changes would be, the commission concludes that Prosperity Action can post such limited material at de minimis cost on its website and on social media websites. The commission could not agree by the necessary 4 votes whether Prosperity Action could place more promotional content on its website and social media websites at more than de minimis cost, because it could not agree as to the legal basis for that conclusion, with 3 commissioners holding the position that the Act's personal use prohibition does not apply to leadership PACs.
Any questions or comments? And hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, let me just say, with respect to that, of course, that I cannot support unlimited promotion of Representative Ryan's book through the leadership PAC, because he is receiving royalties based on how many books are being sold. So his promotion of the book will allow him to personally profit from the leadership pack. And in my view, while I understand that this is not necessarily a unanimous view of this commission, I interpret the Act to not permit such action, such conduct, and therefore we have fashioned this compromise in a way to be able to provide you with the necessary guidance to go forward.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to also thank the requesters for their interesting question and their helpful comment. I am not going to be able to support the compromise draft. There actually isn't a draft out there that represents my perspective, which really hasn't changed since the Brown and the Hayworth AOs, that I believe it's a violation of the personal use restriction to use the campaign resources in any way to promote something that's going to generate a profit for the candidate. And I recognize that 4 commissioners in those other two AOs said that that was, as long as it was de minimis, it was okay. There's an older line of cases that I think is better founded, the Lieberman AO, the Granger AO. There's a number of them that point out that Representative Granger, for example, wanted to, she wrote a children's book and wanted to promote it, admittedly more than de minimis, on her campaign website. And the commission's answer, an answer which I believe I agreed with your former boss, Mr. Bays, said that she could do that because Representative Granger's royalties will be donated to charitable organizations, she will not personally gain from the use of committee funds or assets for the contemplated activities. In light of the absence of any such personal benefit from the proposed activities, the commission determines that the proposed activities do not constitute a prohibited personal use of campaign funds. And I draw kind of a hard line on these personal use issues, so even though the expenditure would be de minimis, I think there is potentially a large benefit to the congressman who may well sell a whole lot of books, and it will be impossible to sort out from the book sales which ones were purchased by people who found out about it by going to his campaign or Leadership PAC websites. I appreciate that in terms of buying the bulk books by the Leadership PAC and the campaign, he has agreed to forego any personal profit from those, and that's why those questions are easier for me. And I always appreciate it when people ask questions and do it in a way that makes it easy for us to say yes. And like the vice chair, although I recognize this is a minority viewpoint, I think the personal use restrictions can be read to apply to Leadership PACs. The personal use restriction speaks to contributions and any other donation received by an individual as support for activities of the individual as a holder of federal office. I think that the Leadership PAC is the donations and contributions that are received by the Leadership PAC are used by the individual support for activities in his capacity as a holder of federal office, and that's why I think they can be read to apply. I was happy to join with my colleagues in recommending that Congress state so explicitly, and because I know that this is not the general reading of the statute, and I think it would be better if Congress would adopt that unanimous legislative recommendation of the commission, but I don't think that that's inconsistent with my position. I guess I'm saying this for the requester's benefit. We have very sparse press attendance here today, I think, because they're probably all over the Disclose Act hearing at the Senate. But I did want to explain why I will not be able to support the compromise, although I really appreciate the effort. I appreciate your comment, which encourages the commission to agree on what we can agree on. I think that the regulated community is better served when the commission does do that, and too often we have foundered in that effort, in part because people were unwilling to accept a lesser included answer. You're trying to give us something that we can say yes to, and I have my own issue on the even de minimis use of campaign resources to promote the book, so I won't be able to join in that. But I do think it's a positive development, and I'm glad that you actually are going to get an answer to all six of your questions, and I will join in the answer to four of them. So with that,
Commissioner Walter,
can I join in the comments of Commissioner Weintraub? I would say this. Certainly it's reasonable to go both ways on how you interpret whether or not there's a limitation or not. It seems to me it's either all or nothing. If I were to interpret it that way, a de minimis way is a compromise. But I'm not prepared to go there. I feel the same now as I did when I voted on the Brown AO. Commissioner Weintraub and I both found ourselves in the two out of the six on that. Probably we'll do the same today.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I have one more thing that I wanted to say, which I apologize. I forgot. I also just wanted to say that in using the line of analysis that this is commercial activity, we're following a long line of commission precedents that includes, for example, the way the commission treated the movie that Michael Moore put out. And I want to make a point of noting that we have treated liberals and conservatives exactly the same way.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment on the de minimis issue. While there are two lines of cases with regard to this, I believe, obviously, that the line of cases that indicates that de minimis activity is appropriate, and here's the reason. I think in this case, with respect to Mr. Ryan's book, it's a good example. I think it would be untenable and unfair to say that there could not even be a mention of his book, and that he has published such a book and his other, you know, sort of minor activities with respect to that at very minimal cost. And so for that reason, it seems to me that the more rational, the more reasonable way of approaching this is to go with the de minimis approach.
Commissioner Wayne?
I'm sorry. I have the greatest respect for my colleague, the vice chair. I just wanted to say why I differ on that point. Obviously, members of Congress and candidates have been writing books for a very long time, and the commission has never tried to interfere with that activity. And this is partially because in my prior lifetimes, I reviewed an awful lot of book contracts. Most of the contracts, in fact, I think all the contracts that I reviewed in my prior lifetime, either both in private practice and in when I was working at the Ethics Committee, involved books where the point of the book was to get the office holders' ideas out, and they weren't taking royalties; they were donating the royalties to charity. And it's only recently that this topic has come up because the office holders have wanted to keep the royalties, and that's really the only reason why it becomes an issue under personal use. It's because of the royalties. It's not because he wants to get his ideas out. Obviously, he wants to get his ideas out, and they're related to what he does as an office holder and as a candidate. But the line for me is that he's going to be retaining the profits from the book, which is as I said, a recent change. Candidates didn't used to do that, but now they want the money. That's fine. But that's why it makes a difference to me.
Madam Vice Chair?
Motion. All right, the first motion in the AO Twin Congressman Paul Ryan. Motion number one, with respect to advisory opinion request 2014-06, Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action, I move that the Commission approve agenda document number 14-36A, except for the response to questions 3 and 4, and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any necessary and conforming edits.
Any questions or comments regarding the pending motion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. Motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Madam Vice Chair.
With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-06, Ryan for Congress and Prosperity Action, I move that the Commission approve the response to questions 3 and 4 in the agenda document number 14-36A with the following edit. And if I can read the edit again. And it is on page 12, starting at line 3 through line 6, to include the following language and to make technical and conforming edits throughout the draft. The question would be, may Prosperity Action place 1 to 2 sentences of material promoting the way forward on its website and also post a de minimis amount of material promoting Congressman Ryan's book on its social media sites? The Commission concludes that Prosperity Action can post such limited material at de minimis cost on its website and on social media websites. The Commission could not agree by the necessary four votes whether Prosperity Action could place more promotional material on its website and social media websites at more than de minimis cost, because it could not agree as to the legal basis for that conclusion, with three commissioners holding the position that the Act's personal use prohibition does not apply to leadership PACs.
Madam Secretary, you have that motion. Adav, is that sufficient for what you need?
It is, thank you.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
The motion passes by a vote of 4-2, with Commissioners Weintraub and Walther voting no. Gentlemen, I think that hopefully that gets your client where your clients where they need to go, so that you can market and disseminate Paul Ryan's ideas and in a book published by Grand Central Publishing. I do want to comment, though, on my disappointment in one aspect of the opinion you've just received, and that is you also asked the question of whether Grand Central Publishing, when it publishes and disseminates a political book, is entitled to the media exemption on the same basis as newspaper publishers, magazine publishers, television stations, and online publishers. And unfortunately, we could not reach by the necessary four votes today an opinion on that. And I think that's unfortunate, because that failure reveals a festering legal uncertainty and chill for the free press rights of books and book publishers to publish and disseminate political books free from government regulation. The request here asked us whether Grand Central Publishing is exempt from regulation when it publishes, markets, and disseminates a political book. Now, my colleagues, Commissioner Hunter and Commissioner Peterson and I, made a draft public in draft A that answered that question with a clear affirmation of free press rights for books and book publishers. That opinion is based on the Supreme Court's consistent recognition over decades that books and book publishers are entitled to the full protection of the Free Press Clause of the U.S. Constitution. The opinion also applies the FEC's own precedents, applying the statutory exemption for the press that Congress thoughtfully included in the Federal Election Campaign Act out of respect for the role that publishers of news and commentary play in our democracy. The analysis is not complicated and should not be controversial. Unfortunately, that opinion was not supported by four votes, so all references to freedom of the press were removed in an effort to provide these citizens and this publisher the best, if limited, advice that we could. But in doing so, we have wounded a profound constitutional right that affects all publishers and authors and journalists, and puts this commission right back where it was when the government argued to the Supreme Court of the United States that the FEC can ban books. By failing to affirm this publisher's constitutional right and statutory right to disseminate a book about political affairs free from FEC conditions and regulations, we have effectively asserted regulatory jurisdiction over a book publisher. The legal theory we did apply to allow this publisher to market and disseminate this book, the commercial vendor exemption, is limited and imposes numerous regulatory conditions and restrictions. For those who support a free press, they should pay close attention to how this agency asserts regulatory jurisdiction over the press. Whether it is a television newsroom in Boston that hosts two candidates for a debate in studio, or a well-established book publisher, the freedom of the press from FEC regulation is too important. Books have been part of the press protected by the First Amendment since our founding, and there is no legally sound basis for recognizing the free press rights of Time Magazine or the Washington Post to be free of FEC regulation on the one hand, but reserve regulatory authority over a publisher when it prints and disseminates the same content in book form. There simply is no principal distinction between these publishers, magazine form, newsprint form, online, or in book form. All should receive the same freedom. My colleagues and I will be issuing a concurring opinion on this point today and making it part of the record. Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No one is banning books. You know, to listen to you, you'd think that anybody here at this table was trying to ban books. You would not understand from listening to that statement, or my guess is from reading your statement, that the opinion that the Commission just issued unanimously exempted the book. We used a different exemption than you want to use, but it's still an exemption. And this overheated language about book banning is really, I think, not well-founded. The request was kind of interesting on this point because the request said, surprisingly, the Commission has never considered books under the media exemption. But then there was a footnote that pointed out that, well, actually, there was a 1987 AO where the Commission said books don't appear to be covered by the media exemption. What we call the media exemption, oddly enough, doesn't use the word media and doesn't use the word press. The exemption itself says the term expenditure does not include any news story, commentary, or editorial distributed through the facilities of any broadcasting station, newspaper, magazine, or other periodical publication. I don't know why Congress wrote the word periodical publication in there, but they did. And we are constrained in interpreting that particular provision to interpret that particular provision in the words that it uses. That doesn't mean that we're banning books. That doesn't mean that we're regulating books. Indeed, we have always, at the Commission, taken great pains to not regulate books and rather to exempt them. And I don't think that for most of the public out there, they really care a whole lot which exemption we use. People are free to write books, and the Commission has never said to the contrary, and we're not saying so today. You know, you've written statements on this before, and you've included partisan slurs in the statement and suggested that we are motivated by partisan bias, which is really not appreciated and untrue. I want to categorically deny that, and that's why I made a point of saying that the commercial exemption is exactly the same exemption we use with Michael Moore. Who I don't think is anybody's definition of a conservative. I understand that you would like us to use the media exemption, but the fact that we use the commercial exemption instead of the media exemption still allows the requester to do exactly what he wants to do and any other book author to do exactly what they want to do.
Vice Chair Ravel.
I just want to wholeheartedly agree with my colleague's statements. I think it is clear that we are not regulating books in this instance, and this is an exemption that we have applied. We are in no way banning books either. So while I understand that you may wish to expand the what you call the media exemption in this case, because there are some apparent inconsistencies in treatment. However, they have never been applied in a way that would in any way be detrimental to authors of books to be able to promulgate their free ideas, and this commission has, as far as I know, never done so.
Well, let me just say I appreciate Commissioner Weintraub your representation today that the commercial vendor exemption is coextensive with the media exemption with no conditions imposed on it. That was your representation. We took care of this book publisher with another exemption that exempts them from the Act. However, that has not always been the position of this commission. The conditions imposed on qualifying for this commercial vendor exemption include, for example, that the publisher must sell its book for a profit as part of a commercial transaction. That means nonprofit publishers would not qualify for this exemption. The condition of qualifying for the business vendor exemption is that the publisher must sell its book at a certain price at the going market price. Under the media exemption, the media can distribute its materials for free. According to some views, and this is also a condition stated in the rule in this advisory opinion to qualify for the commercial vendor exemption, the publisher cannot express an editorial viewpoint cannot have a position in the election. That's in the opinion that we are issuing today on the test for the commercial vendor exemption. And at least one commissioner here said any discussion of the RG Entertainment advisory opinion, that if the producer of that film went out and said, I hope people watch my movie and go out and vote a certain way, that he would not be entitled to the exemption at that point. And what that suggests is there is at least some viewpoint that the commercial vendor exemption does not allow this publisher to express an editorial viewpoint in the same way that the New York Times or the Washington Post could. It's also unclear, under this theory, whether the publisher can run broadcast TV or radio ads marketing this book without filing an electioneering communication report. Because there was a 3-3 split in the advisory opinion on RG Entertainment, where three commissioners issued an opinion that said when a documentary film was published, although he qualified for the business vendor exemption, when he ran television ads featuring candidates marketing this film, he would nonetheless have to file an electioneering commission report. This is all a series of regulations that some commissioners hold apply even under the commercial vendor exemption that would not apply under the media exemption. Now, this commission has split on whether books qualify for exemption in the past, and that was in MER 5642. The matter of George Soros, where some commissioners voted to enforce the law against George Soros when he used a mailing list to market his book. And three commissioners, Commissioner Peterson, Commissioner Hunter, and Commissioner McGann, issued opinion that said George Soros can market his book freely without regulation by the FEC because a book is protected by the media exemption. Now, I know you read the statute that talks about certain media. However, the legislative history on this matter is far broader than that, and there is no logical distinction between a book form versus a magazine form versus an online form versus a periodical form of the same content. And the Supreme Court has recognized that books are part of the press, protected by the press exemption. The media exemption in the Act is a manifestation of the Free Press Clause. And so this commission should stand up and recognize that books qualify for the media exemption and that book publishers can publish, market, and disseminate their books on the same basis that the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Washington Examiner can. Any other commissioner like to be heard? Okay, moving on. Item 3 on today's agenda is draft advisory. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Draft advisory opinion 2014-05, Henry Ford Health System Government Affairs Services PAC. I believe we've already moved the late.
We did.
Documents. And Tracy Ligon is and Amy Rothstein. Amy?
Excuse me. Chairman, may I confirm that Mr. Fiedler is on the phone?
Please do.
Mr. Fiedler?
Yes, I am on the phone. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, all the commissioners and FEC staff for the ability to participate in this meeting.
We're about to begin deliberation, if you'll just hold on a second.
Excuse me, is it Mr. Fiedler?
Fiedler.
Fiedler.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we have Tracy Ligon and Amy Rothstein from the Office of General Counsel here, and I want to welcome Charles Fiedler, counsel for the requester, who is available on telephone now to answer any questions. Tracy, you have a presentation for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Before you is agenda document number 14-35. It's a draft response to a request for an advisory opinion from the Henry Ford Health System Government Affairs Services PAC. The PAC asks whether it may solicit contributions from employees of its connected organization's corporate parent and of that parent's other subsidiaries under the Act and Commission regulations. It also asks whether the Act preempts Michigan law concerning the solicitation of contributions. The draft concludes that the PAC may solicit contributions as it proposes pursuant to the Act and the Commission regulations. It does not, however, reach the preemption question because the Michigan law at issue does not apply to contributions to federal political committees, and the state has officially interpreted that law as not regulating contributions or expenditures made to support or oppose federal candidates. We did not receive any comments on the request or on the draft advisory opinion. If the commission approves this draft, we request authority to make technical and conforming changes. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions of Ms. Ligon? Any questions of Mr. Fiedler? Hearing none, Madam Vice Chair, do we have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. With respect to advisory opinion request 2014-5, Henry Ford Health System Government Affairs Services Political Action Committee, I move that the commission approve agenda document number 14-35 and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any necessary technical and conforming edits.
I take this out of order, but with the motion pending on the floor, let me just ask Mr. Fiedler one last opportunity. Mr. Fiedler, did you have any reaction to the draft that you've seen?
No, I do not.
Okay. Any questions, comments regarding the pending motion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Item four on our agenda was a draft advisor opinion in 2014-08. I understand, Mr. Noddy, it has been withdrawn today.
It was withdrawn late last night, yes.
Okay, so we will not take that up.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
may I make
Mr. Noddy, yes.
One quick observation on that. The policy division's legal intern, Drusilla Tigner, sitting here in the front row, did a tremendous amount of work on that AO and was prepared to present it today. And I just wanted to recognize the pretty stellar job she did on that not-so-simple
You
request.
Know what? I didn't realize who wrote it. I thought one of our 12-year experienced attorneys had put that one together. And you compiled the right legal points quite well. There was, I believe, agreement on the conclusion that you proposed to us, and indeed even at the line you drew on compensation. And I just want to thank you and commend you on your work. It was excellent work, beyond what I would expect of a law student. So thank you for being with us this summer and for your good work. Okay. Mr. Palmer, are there any management or administrative matters which the commission must address today?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned, and the commission will reconvene in 10 minutes to resume our executive session continued from yesterday.